You're listening to Distraction Therapy. Conversations and sound walks at a time of change. With me, Rob Watson. Hello, Rob Watson here, and I've come out on Saturday the 1st of May. Is it the first day of summer? It's certainly a celebration of the arrival of spring, early summer. Technically, I'm not sure which that is, but I'm in Leicester City Centre again, and just gonna have a wander around, capture some of the sounds. There's more people here today than there has been last week and obviously the previous weeks before that. Not all the shops are open, but some of the cafes and bars are starting to open, and things like the hair salons are starting to open. So let's just have a wander about and see if there's anything of interest.
I'm glad to sit on it. Every place I've been, this one.
One of the serious aspects of coming out of lockdown is the sense of public mood, and there's an anxiety for many people about, and I feel this myself, about returning into public spaces and being part of the kind of the mass of people again. And is that the right thing to do? I have these questions of, I'm a people watcher, so I like being around people, but it can be overwhelming that you're faced with so many people, and
generally behaviour is chaotic and not particularly well organised when you're being you're in that frame of mind for being hypersensitive to social distancing requirements, for example. So there's a public mood of not everybody is engaging equally with the return to, you know, open resources, open shops, open bars and cafes and things, because there is still an anxiety there, and until everybody feels confident, we shouldn't assume that anybody feels confident. We need to work on the basis of giving the least confident people a supporting hand and a reassurance that they're not feeling overwhelmed and they're not feeling that kind of agoraphobic anxiety of being out in a public space where you are really sensitive to the fact that things are not in your control. I think it's one of the things, the anxiety issues that accompanies the lockdown is the recognition of the anxiety that it brings, that you're not in control, and that just by the freak of nature of somebody breathing in a public space, a virus can be spread. It's an airborne contagion. And having that, that's why we're wearing masks, that's why we're sanitizing our hands. But from wandering around, it doesn't seem to be prevalent. There's kind of like, the danger is that we just wipe this from our minds. There was the famous example of Dallas, the 1980s soap opera, where Bobby Ewing was shot and murdered at the end of the sixth series, I think it was. And the seventh series was all about life afterwards, and then the eighth series started with him walking out of the shower, that it had all been a dream because they had a ratings problem and they brought him back in to carry on with the character as if nothing had happened. And it's almost as if there's an attempt to make that happen, is that we push aside our memory of what's taking place over this last year, and that we return to what we call normal. But it isn't normal. It's in a different place, and it's fed and anchored in different things, different sentiments, different moods. And we have to find out and acknowledge what those moods are. We have to look at and allow people to express a sense of what those feelings have been and what it is that people have gone through. So the memory of the cultural memory, the collective memory, and the individual memories, and the pain and the suffering that went with that, kind of needs to find a voice. And if all we do is push on to getting things back open, push on to celebrating, you know, Independence Day, push on to, you know, kind of, we can put this behind us, that's maybe the wrong thing to do. And I'd kind of maybe like to see us taking some time out to think about and acknowledge people's grief and the suffering that many people have experienced, and think about where we want to be in emotionally and on the basis of how we feel about this, not just looking at the numbers. Yes, we see that graph that gets published in the newspapers every day where the numbers are now down to a very low level of where they were after the first lockdown, summertime level. Well, they would be because people are outdoors. It's got the confidence of a vaccine associated with it, but let's not be deluded that we have somehow conquered this, because whilst the infection itself might not be as prevalent, the emotional impact and the scars and the displacement that people have felt hasn't been realised yet. It hasn't been understood yet. It hasn't been felt. It hasn't been acknowledged. We are not at the point where we're starting to think about gathering our feelings to think about what it is that we have just done. What have we just experienced?
Yeah, well, I
So I've just walked through the Leicester Clock Tower area, which I've been through many times. And today, for some reason, there seems to be a lot of preachers and proselytizers out. So there was born-again Christians, an Islamic tent giving out leaflets, and socialist workers, and some guys playing reggae on a sound system, and some businesses promoting home energy, that kind of thing. And what's interesting is the music that's being played. Everybody seems to have a powered amplifier these days, where the sound carries for miles. It's not just their own voice or an acoustic instrument. It's amplified and it kind of carries on down the street. So it's been freezing all week and the wind's whipping through, and it's not quite as comfortable as it seemed earlier on with the sunshine, and the clouds have gone battleship grey now, and it's probably likely that we're going to get some rain, in which case it'll be interesting to see how the streets clear at that point if we do. We've not had any rain for a while. There's that line, isn't there, in the song White Lines, which says, "It makes me wonder how I keep from going under." And one of the things about doing these sound walks is it's a real kind of opportunity, a moment to reflect and think, and to kind of just pause for a minute to think about what the
you know, what it is that we're experiencing, what it is that we're part of. And particularly as you know, it's been in one space, not being able to travel, not being able to get away from a place where you kind of feel some disconnection. It's what's known as the meaning crisis. If you kind of to give it a theoretical term, it's metamodernism. It's part of the metamodernism discussion about the idea that we live in a world where we're disconnected from meaning. More people than ever report that they feel socially isolated, that they feel lonely, that they don't feel a sense of belonging. And yet we have all of these spaces where we are expected to belong, and we are have the opportunity to engage with other people, but it for some reason doesn't feel enough. And I was talking to some young people the other day about what Zoom has done for them, and how Zoom has you attended meetings and training courses online, and it's enabled them to engage with people in a different way, which is kind of more widespread, and which is so that they're living in bedrooms, living at home, and they are, but they're managing to maintain their studies and to connect with other people through this teleconferencing capability that we've now accepted and will be one of the remarkable things that we talk about after everything has kind of moved on. And that kind of social connection through teleconferencing and social media platforms seems really seductive as an idea, but you just get the sense that there's a longing there for something which is a bit, which is more meaningful, which is more grounded, which is not just about staring at a screen, which is not just about clicking through to accept a meeting request and looking at a checkbox of faces, many of whom that you don't know, and all you're presenting of yourself is a narrow version of yourself through a screen, and rather than, you know, having that physical, you know, what's your size, what's your shape, what's your smell, what's your demeanour, what are your mannerisms? All of that counts so much in our communications, which is lost by the compartmentalisation of something like a Zoom or Teams call, which we, you know, I think there is a kind of a need to ensure that we facilitate and support that in-person, face-to-face contact safely and without boosting the booze and the other things that, you know, social lubrication, is that actually it becomes something which is normalised as something which doesn't need to be facilitated with artificial stimulants, which we become to depend on and rely on, and that people can kind of be themselves and that people can relax a bit, because many people are not comfortable with pop culture, either for faith reasons or reasons of ability or reasons of past experiences with, you know, excessive alcohol consumption. So that not everybody has the ability to just slot back into place to these islands of social engagement that we depend upon. And kind of rethinking it is probably going to be one of the important things that we do. And think what it, you know, pubs are, you know, this is talked about a lot, pubs are in decline. Pubs are facing a challenge that there's more of them are closing, and how many will remain closed once the lockdown is lifted. And we maybe need to rethink about this and look at this in a different way, in a different light, and start to think that, okay, the single-purpose pub may not be something that is suited to the future. And certainly if you've got a diverse community, just focusing on having great pubs in Leicester amidst about 40% of the population who don't drink or are not from a culture that prioritises and centralises alcohol consumption so much. So we kind of have to think, what are the things that we put in its place that allow people the space to engage with one another in a way that is interactive and meaningful, and that isn't just boxed up as something where you know, what's been fascinating is how people are using the benches and the seats around the city. They'll go and get a takeaway meal from a restaurant, from a fast food restaurant, and bring it out and sit in the street and eat in the street. I'm not saying that's a great thing to do, but it seems just, you know, there's you can see people, you can make eye contact with people, whereas when everybody was kind of would go into the restaurants, they're enclosed and looking at each other in the restaurant, and there's like a bubble of expectation, and some people feel as if they can go into those places and others feel as if they can't. Whereas when you're out on the street, it's a bit more of an equaliser, because you are rubbing up against people who are, you know, looking for cash, spare cash from people, trying to sell big issues, asking you for a fag, those kind of things. That is part of street life. And you see people walking past in different kinds of, you see everybody. Whereas when you only see people inside the kind of typical pub that you typically go to, you may be cut off from the broader range. So maybe this is a kind of a moment where we think about what that social solidarity means in practice, and not just what it means as a kind of consumer choice. It becomes something which is actually enables us to get on better with one another, and find that kind of point of understanding that we think of ourselves as with a group, with a social identity, and not just as, you know, compartmentalised individuals.
City's ripped back sides. We'll see the bright and hollow. sky. We'll see the stars that shine so bright. A star's made for us tonight. Oh, the passenger, how it rides. Oh, the passenger, he rides and he rides. He looks through his window, what does he see? He sees a sight and hollow sky. He sees the stars come out tonight. He sees the city's ripped back sides. He sees the winding ocean drive. And everything was made for you and me. All of it was made for you and me. Cause it just belongs to you and me. So let's take a ride and see what's mine. He rides and he rides. He sees things from under glass. He looks through his window inside. He sees the things he knows are his. He sees the bright and hollow sky. He sees the city asleep at night. He sees the stars are out tonight. And all of it is yours and mine. And all of it is yours and mine. So let's ride and ride and ride and ride.
So it's been fascinating to wander about the city centre and to see so many young people about, out and about. The atmosphere was really quite pleasant and cordial, and it kind of makes me wonder if there's a potential here for something which we can keep hold of. I know we don't have the weather here in the UK to do this consistently, but maybe we can change and adapt some of the ways that we do things. So having people out in the street rather than tucked away inside the cafes and bars and restaurants really changes the nature of the public space. We use streets in the town centres as thoroughfares, and the kind of activities that we allow to happen in these spaces are kind of not really conducive to just hanging around and being part of the scene. It's like you come in, you meet up, you move on, you go to a destination, you come back out. And trying to change the concept of social space, maybe this is going to give us a nudge into thinking how we can use and give a platform to the use of street spaces in this way. You know, a lot of the bars and cafes, they have gardens and pub gardens now and courtyards. So these are kind of tucked away. But it's also nice to see the pavement area being used and to see who is out and about. You get a completely different impression of who is in the city from just walking around and seeing who it is that is, you know, kind of out for a drink, meeting up with friends. And, you know, the kind of the traditional pubs that serve food, you know, they're going to come back and they're going to be open later in the month. But are they going to be, are we going to see a withdrawal back into those spaces, or is there going to be a desire for people to stay out in the fresh air? Now, at the moment, you know, kind of it's been dry these last few weeks. There will probably be a change as soon as the weather turns and we get some rain. But it has been quite cold and people have been out with coats on, so, you know, people can adapt. In hotter cities and towns, where the heat is the problem, people provide shade and cover. And, you know, we just need to buy some parasols and, you know, they can be taken up and put down quite easily. And also, it was nice to see, you know, people were queuing up quite politely to get into the cafes and bars. And then it's table service, so people are reserving seats and it's table service. And it's like, you know, let's keep this. This sounds like it is a little bit more potential for some change, and that we don't have to go rushing around. There's still places where you can go for a pint and a chat with your mates, but there's also places where you know, can just chill out and relax and have a conversation, and you're part of the open world. It's fascinating, and I think we should keep an eye on it. If you want to take part in one of these sound walks, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at RobWMedia, or you can email me, rob@robwatsonmedia.net. This goes out as a podcast if you look for Distraction Therapy, and it also is broadcast on Leicester Community Radio, 1449 AM medium wave, and Sound Art Radio in Totnes.
You've been listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson. Find out more at robwatsonmedia.net or follow me on Instagram and Twitter at RobWMedia.